Good morning. Good morning. Topic we wanted to discuss today is about Pikuach Nefesh, part two. And the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes Siman Aleph here in Shabbos discusses the following case. And that is that the Gemara says that one is not allowed to take a boat trip, Tan Rabbana in Machlig in the Sfina, Pachos Mishloshi Yom in Kodim Le Shabbos. The Medvar Mamurim, Lezvar Arshus, Lezvar Mitzvah, Shapir Domi. The Gemara writes, a person is not allowed to take a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos, and the Gemara doesn't tell us why it's prohibited. But the Gemara tells us if you go for a Dvar Mitzvah, it's permissible. So it's very unclear why you're not allowed to take a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos, but for purpose of mitzvah, it's permissible. So we have to look in the Rishonim to try to find what the Hesber is, what the reason why there is such a din, and this has many, many ramifications. Halacha l'maisa. Tosfos, here in Dibre Maske Ein Machlig in Bisvinit, claims that it's a problem. We know the Mishnah writes, you might, it's prohibited to swim on Shabbos because we're afraid you're going to make a raft. And therefore, making a raft on Shabbos is called Makad Bepatish, or it might be Binyan. And therefore, it's prohibited to swim on Shabbos because where there's a concern, you're going to make a raft. So Tosfos writes, that's the problem with this Gemara. The problem with this Gemara, the Brisa is explaining that if you take a boat trip within 3 days of Shabbos, we're afraid that you're going to want to swim, and therefore wanting to swim will fall under the rubric of making a raft. And therefore, there is a prohibition to in fact do this 3 days before Shabbos. But if you're going for a mitzvah, it's permissible because this rabbinic chash is suspended in the Makom Mitzvah. And to the degree that if you take a trip earlier in the week and you see that you need a raft, says the Mishnah Berura, you'll figure out how to make the raft earlier in the week, and therefore you won't come to be Mechal Shabbos. So that's Tosos understanding in this Gemara, the Isser is going to come to actually make a raft. Okay, that's Tosos' approach. The Rabbeinu Chananu on the spot gives a different approach. He says that it'll be a problem of tchumen. We know that if a boat is within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's called a sfina gosheshes, and therefore when Shabbos begins, you're konish shvisa in a certain place, and if you travel outside those 2,000 amas, it'll be a breach of the isra of tchumen. And therefore the concern is that if you take the trip 3 days beforehand, what's going to take place is it'll be a problem of a sfina gosheshes within 10 tefachim in the ground, and therefore you'll break the din of tchumen, and therefore we assume also the Mishnah Berurah explains that 3 days before, what you'll have to, if it'll be more than 3 days before, then we'll have to assume, says the Mishnah Berurah, you'll figure out a way that it won't be an issur tchumen, probably the boat won't be within 10 tefachim of the ground, and if you'll be able to figure out, you have enough time to be able to figure out that you won't break the din of tchumen. And if it's the case of a mitzvah, so again, this rabbinic concern of breaking tchumen will be suspended when you want to take a trip for the sake of a mitzvah. So that's the second approach you have in the Gemara, Tosfos being that it's an isser of tchumen. The third approach you have in the Gemara is very interesting, and that's the Rambam and the Rith. The Rambam and the Rith write the following. They feel that if a person takes a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos, you're going to be seasick when Shabbos comes, and you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah of onig Shabbos. And therefore, you're not going to enjoy Shabbos if someone is seasick, and therefore it's going to be a big problem, and we know we have to enjoy Shabbos, karas l'Shabbos onig, and therefore, if you take the trip earlier in the week, you'll be able to get used to already the boat, and therefore, you won't be seasick on Shabbos, and therefore, it's permissible. And says the Rith, well, if you're going for the sake of a mitzvah, you're even allowed to what? Impinge upon your own Shabbos, cause the rift, the shita of the Mishnah in Sukkah and Daf Lafemanav, Osik b'mitzvah is patur b'mitzvah. Because behold, I'm taking a trip for one mitzvah, I might impinge upon my other mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, but says the rift, that's not a problem. There is a cloud of Osik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. And you have selected to, in fact, take this trip. You've selected, in fact, to take this trip, and therefore Osik b'mitzvah will be patur min mitzvah. So that's the Rif and the Rambam's approach to this din in the Gemara. It's interesting, the Magen Mishnah points out, he says in rivers, where it's not there's not so many waves, and assumingly there won't be seasickness, he writes, this Gemara would not apply, and therefore you could take the boat trip within 3 days of Shabbos, as long as it's rivers, because it will not generate the problem of seasickness. Interesting, that's what the Magen Mishnah says according to the Rambam and the Rif. So far we have three approaches so far. Tosfos says the problem is making a raft, concern of making a raft swimming. No, because nevish, we're going to get this permissible, but this is a problem of planning something that might be a problem of being Mechal Shabbos. So the problem is, what is the issue we're looking for? Without getting into Pikuach Nefesh, the next sheet that we're going to get to now is the Baal Amor, which brings us to the category of Pikuach Nefesh. But the first three don't discuss Pikuach Nefesh at all. Either the issue of taking a raft, it's concerned you're making a raft, either the issue of Tchumen, or either being Mavakal, your owning Shabbos, and therefore we have Osik B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. Okay. Then we have a fourth approach, which is the sheet of the Baal Amor. Baal Amor says a tremendous chiddush here, and he writes, if we take a look, it's on your notes. Let's read this one inside. It's number 6. The Baal Amor writes the following. The li nira tam acher. Bein bezu, bein bezu. Bein shamru ein saros ala yaros. The shel nachrim de kulu makum sakana. Kol shloshi yomim kodum le Shabbos. Kame Shabbos and mikri. The nira kin masin the lichos is a Shabbos. So says the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor comes up with a very big chiddush here, tremendous novel chiddush. He says the Gemara is telling us you cannot play games to be Mechal Shabbos. It's kind of like a din derabbanan and a mar sayin that it looks like you're playing games that you planned to be Mechal Shabbos, because no one knows what's going to happen on a boat. You might have to be Mechal Shabbos, and therefore you're creating a scenario that you might be machnis yourself in a situation where Pikuach Nefesh might happen, and you're going to have to be Docha Shabbos. So writes the Baal Amor, rabbinically, this is a problem. Rabbinically, I stress that, it looks like a Marsayan type of thing, to create a matz of a scenario where you're going to enter a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. It's a rabbinic problem. But biblically, at a level of Yeraisa, from the Baal Amor, it seems very clear that it's going to be permissible. And if you plug it into the Gemara, what did the Gemara say? If you take the trip earlier in the week, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, it's permissible. Both Midiraisa and Midirabana. It's just a problem 3 days before Shabbos. And there's a machlokas, the Magen Avraham and the Gaon, we should just mention how you treat Wednesday. Is Wednesday treated like Thursday and Friday? Or is Wednesday treated like Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday? It's a machlokas in Rishonim between the Rosh and the Baal Amor, and it's a machlokas the Magen Avraham and the Gra, how to paskin. Mr. Brewer quotes that, Ladina, how we treat Wednesday. But the Baal Amor is saying a remarkable chiddush. Midrabbanan, it looks bad that you're playing games to create a scenario that you're able to what? Be Docha Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh. But Midiraisa, it's permissible. And this is what I want to bring out, that there are two approaches to understand the din of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. If someone, God forbid, has a life-threatening situation, we are obligated to save the person. Now, is the nature of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos considered to be a hutra? Then when I engage in saving this person, it's like not Shabbos for me, and therefore there is no requirement for me to even minimize my Chilul Shabbos, because it's considered to be a hutra. Or do we suggest, no, that Pikuach Nefesh is considered to be a dechuya, which means Shabbos is suspended in midair, but I still realize it's Shabbos, and there is a responsibility upon myself to minimize my Chilul Shabbos, so that it won't impinge upon my saving this fellow's life, but it's considered to be labeled as a dechuya and not considered to be a hutra. So what the Baal Amor might be saying here, very presumably, and this is what the Rav said in one possibility, or Soloveitch Zatzal, that maybe the Baal Amor holds that it's considered to be a hutra, pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is a hutra, and therefore since it's a hutra, maybe ideally, or not necessarily ideally, but on a biblical level, you could create a scenario that you could have a situation of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. You know if you take this boat trip, something might come up, and pikuach nefesh will be done for Shabbos. But if you view pikuach nefesh as a hutra, that will allow you for a person to go ahead and plan this trip from the very outset, ideally, and say, you know what, I know it might happen, but Pikuach Nefesh Tocha Shabbos is a Hutra, and therefore it opens the door for me to ideally plan this trip. Earlier in the week, it's permissible. And even later in the week, if I'm doing it for a mitzvah, this rabbinic iser, that it looks like you're playing games to be Docha Shabbos, will be pushed off the Makom Mitzvah. This is how the Baal HaMor will understand this Gemara. This is tremendous Chiddush, this Baal HaMor. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the difference whether you leave on a week-long journey on Sunday or on Thursday? Either way, you're planning to put yourself into a situation. Why is it mutter?
Good question. Excellent question. Mr. Brewer explains because it's too far away from Shabbos, so it doesn't look bad. No one will associate and say, oh, if you're taking a trip on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, it looks bad that you're playing games in Machal Shabbos. The Baal HaMor says, and Mr. Brewer would explain, it's too far away from Shabbos. Too far away from Shabbos. But what I want to bring out is, halacha l'maisa, according to the Baal HaMor, even if you know for sure that you would be Mechal Shabbos, it seems from the Baal HaMor it would be permissible. Let's say you know for sure a Pikuach Nefesh situation will emerge. It seems from the Baal HaMor that it still would be permissible. And that, the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't paskin like halacha l'maisa. If you take a boat trip on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, you know for sure there'll be a situation of Chil Shabbos that will emerge, that absolutely you shouldn't take the trip. But according to this Baal HaMor, of the different approaches that we're presenting, it would emerge from the Baal HaMor, it would be absolutely permissible. Because we would label Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos as being called a Hutra, and therefore there wouldn't even be a rabbinic problem if you take the trip earlier in the week. That's what the Mishnah Berurah explains. It's an excellent question, but that's what he wants to explain. Makes sense too, because it's a rabbinic problem. It looks bad. So if you're going earlier in the week, it doesn't look so bad. Yeah, go ahead.
You just said that the Mishnah Berurah states that if you know for sure,
right,
gonna be, what happens if it's for Dvar Mitzvah, but you know for sure there's going to be Chilul Shabbos coming out. Sunday, you know that come Shabbos is going to be for sure Chilul Shabbos, for whatever the reason.
Right.
It's a Dvar Mitzvah.
You mean not with the Baal HaMor, halacha l'maisa, you mean?
Yeah.
It seems from the Gemara, that it's with Dvar Mitzvah, it seemed like it would be permissible. Invoking that rift slush of Osik Mitzvah, Pata Mitzvah, perhaps. If you know for sure, but you have no choice, but you have to do this mitzvah, seemingly that would be what the Mishnah was saying. But the Baal HaMor has this tremendous Kiddush, that you can't play games to Mechal Shabbos, but that's a rabbinic problem. Okay. Now, there is another approach. We have, how many approaches? So far that was the fourth approach. There's a fifth approach in the Gemara, and that's the Ran quotes from the Ramban, that the problem at hand is Amira L'Nachri, that we're afraid that you have created a scenario where you're going to be asking a non-Jew to do malach on your behalf. So by taking the boat trip within 3 days, what's going to happen is that you basically have created a scenario, you're going to be over the din, the rabbanon of Amira L'Nachri. And therefore, Letzarech Mitzvah, it's permissible. Letzarech Mitzvah, it's permissible. And if you do it earlier in the week, it doesn't look like that. It's like Amar Sayin and Amir L'Nachri. And what the Ramban points out is, if the majority of the people traveling on the boat are non-Jews and not Jews, so then we won't be a problem of Amir L'Nachri, because the person that's driving the boat is doing it for the majority of the people on the boat, which are non-Jews and not Jews. So therefore, according to the Ramban, if all the people on the boat are majority non-Jewish, then it shouldn't be a problem this whole Gemara. So that's the fifth different approach in the Rishonim to understand why, in fact, we, halacha l'maisa, cannot take a trip, a boat trip, within 3 days. And the truth is, all these five reasons that we gave are very germane, halacha l'maisa, because these Rishonim said, this is the reason what we hold like, and this is what we have to understand and go with. But there is a Tosus in Erevin that claims this whole Gemara is not germane, halacha l'maisa. Because there's a dispute in Shabbos earlier on Daf Yud Zayin and Daf Yud Ches whether your vessels can do work for you on Shabbos, called Shvisas Kalim. Can you set up a scenario where a process happens where there'll be Chilul Shabbos with your vessels, even though you don't do anything on Shabbos? So Beis Shammai says there's a prohibition of Shvisas Kalim, and Beis Hillel says there's no prohibition of Shvisas Kalim. Beis Hillel says as long as you're not doing anything, there's no problem. So Tosus and Erevin writes here in number 8 on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, he claims that this whole Gemara is according to who? Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to take a boat trip within 3 days because your vessels will be doing a malacha for you on Shabbos. But if you ask Beis Hillel, not a problem at all. So according to Tosus and Erevin, this whole Gemara is not a Libud Hilchasa. And therefore, Beis Hillel would allow you to go 2 days before, even if it's not for the sake of the mitzvah. This Tosfos in Eruvin is a tremendous skiddush, and we don't hold like the halacha l'maisa. But the question that we have to understand is that why did the first five Rishonim quoted and presented as a halacha l'maisa, that it even went within Beis Hillel? They didn't hold like this Tosfos in Eruvin. This Gemara couldn't be even within Beis Hillel. So the explanation would be the following, is that in our scenario, the person himself is doing the haflaga. You're taking the boat trip. You're leaving. It's not your vessels. You're the one that's embarking upon this trip. If you're embarking upon this trip, it's a din in the gavra. It's not a din in your vessels. And therefore, even Beis Hillel would say this is a problem to take a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, it would be a problem. Because you could not put this Gemara under the rubric of your vessels are doing a malacha. It's not your vessels. You're the one that did the embarking that left the shore. And therefore, Beis Hillel would say, I agree, this is a very big problem. And therefore, the five Rishonim that we presented earlier certainly jive very well with Beis Hillel and would be a serious issue halacha l'maisa. To really show this, strictly speaking, very important, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal has a beautiful tshuva where he writes, if someone has to, God forbid, have elective surgery, he has very beautiful tshuvas. I remember Shekhar told us in Shir, not so well known. The Rebbe was a great gon too. And he had wrote beautiful tshuvas, I remember Shekhar told us. And I looked it up very beautifully. If someone, God forbid, has to have elective surgery, he should not plan to have the surgery on Thursday or Friday, or according to the Machlokes Magen Ram Gro, or even Wednesday. Because it could lead to a scenario that on Shabbos, maybe there will be Chilul Shabbos done, Pikuach Nefesh, and that would be a breach of the very Gemara that we're learning today. So if there is an elective surgery that is needed, it should be done earlier in the week, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. And Wednesday, we try to be machmir. And Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, if the operation needs to be done, chas v'shalom, by an expert doctor, and that expert doctor only operates on Thursday or Friday, then Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, it falls under the rubric of mitzvah, and therefore it would be permissible because you want to have that surgeon. So if that surgeon only operates on Thursday, Friday, that would be permissible to schedule it then.
Why does it come with the rubric of Pekuach Nefesh, not mitzvah? What's the mitzvah?
Well, the mitzvah is to take care of yourself. Mishmartem is nafsho seichem. So therefore he claims you want that best surgeon, so therefore it's permissible. Yeah, go ahead.
But every surgery, in a sense, unless you're having very elective plastic surgery, involves some level of refuah. It may not be Pekuach Nefesh, but there's some level of refuah, which is really a mitzvah in itself.
That's true. So you're saying that it would, okay.
Yeah, but the timing, whether you do it earlier or later, a woman wants to have a C-section, earlier or later.
No, but I understand. But the Gemara assumed is that if it's a mitzvah,
right.
it didn't say you should leave on Sunday, Monday, to the Gemara. So once it's a mitzvah,
correct.
It's the type of mitzvah, you don't have to worry so much whatever the five sir might be.
Right. Excellent. Both your points are excellent. When I mean elective, I mean elective really underlined, let's say. That really you could have a real choice. And there's really no requirement to really have it later in the week. That's what he writes, a very interesting tshuva. And people try to follow that halacha l'maisa if it's possible. But it's an important caveat we mentioned from Shlomo Zalman, if someone wants to have that specific surgeon and he only operates later in the week. Okay. This sets up the scenario now for us with the Balamor, that the Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is really a hutra to the degree that you can create a scenario. You could create a scenario to which would have to allow you to be Mechal Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh. And that's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. What this brings us to is the following. And that is what I'd like to call the triage issue. Triage issue, okay? No one should have to be in this situation, but it really is a halachic triage. What do I mean? There's a rush in the 8th Pirik of Maseches Yuma that quotes B'Shem the Maharam in Rutenberg, the following Kiddush, okay? Do we have it here? We do have it here, yes. It's in 10, okay? It's an amazing Kiddush, amazing Shiloh. There is someone deathly ill, God forbid. And you have a Kazayas of Nevela. Nevela is non-kosher food. Why? Because the animal, the cow, was shot. To die not through shechita, that's called a nevela. And eating a nevela, a kazayas nevela, is a lav. He needs to eat this person that is deathly ill. Okay? He's a cholashesh b'sakana, he needs to eat something. Eating something will save his life. You could either give him a kazayas of nevela, or you could shech the cow on Shabbos and salt the meat and prepare it, and therefore you'll give him kosher meat. So the question at hand is shchita, is an iser skila on Shabbos, whether the malach is svia or the malach is netilus neshama, it's a machlokas, between Rav and Shmuel and Shabbos and Dafayim Ham and Aleph, but it's an iser skila. And eating a nevela, kazayas nevela, is a lav. Now, skil and kares is more chomer than a lav. So that's the halachic triage that we have to deal with. So the Rush quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg that halacha lemaisa, you should shech the cow. Why? Because he says, pikuch nefesh on Shabbos is a hutra. And therefore, since it's a hutra, there is no reason at all to try to minimize the severity of the avera. And therefore, Paskins the Maharam Rutenberg, you shech the cow. Yes, that's the unbelievable chiddush that he says that. Since pikuach nefesh is a hutra, though, he says it allows you to what? To shech the cow? It's like you've done nothing wrong. Whereas if the fellow that eats in the nevela, it's like he has pikuach nefesh, but pikuach nefesh is doch the isser of nevela. But when you...
And it allows you to shech the cow, or it mandates that you...
Mandates. Seems like it mandates here. That's what it says. It seems like it mandates. That's an excellent point as well. It seems like it mandates. He held that it was considered to be a hutra. Unbelievable chiddush. This is what the Rush quotes b'shem the Maharam Rutenberg. It's really a tremendous chiddush that he claims, but that's what he held. And he says you should shech the cow halacha l'maisa. On the other polar, there is a Rashba in the Tshuvas. The Rashba in the Tshuvas is in Chelek Aleph in Simin Tafresh Peites, where the Rashba writes, absolutely not. Pikuach nefesh is a dechuya, and therefore he writes, why engage in pikuach nefesh is considered to be a dechuya? You should not shech the cow. You should feed the person the nevela. He'll be over a lav, but pikuach nefesh is docha the what? Docha the lav, and therefore you look at which avera will be less severe. And therefore let him eat the nevela, which is only a lav, as opposed to shchita, which is kars and skila. So you see right here, that fundamentally the Maharam Rutenberg and the Rashbar arguing on this Nakuda is pikuach nefesh on Shabbos considered to be a what? A hutra? Or is it considered to be a dechuya? Rashbar says it's a dechuya, feed him the nevela. Maharam Rutenberg says it's a hutra, we're mandated to shech the cow. Okay. There are two other opinions, though, I want to share with you in the Rishonim upon this. And the Rush writes like this. The Rush seems to agree that pikuach nefesh is a dechuya, but he says you should shech the cow. Because he says, I'm concerned psychologically that the fellow will not be able to get himself to eat the nevela, which is not kosher. Fascinating. He'll try the best he can. He's deathly ill, but he just cannot eat the nevela. So therefore, writes the Rush, I agree with you, pikuach nefesh is a dechuya, but you know what? I'm not happy with feeding him the nevela because he might not end up eating it. And then you'll be in a very difficult situation. So just go ahead and shech the cow. That's what the Rush says. The Ran also agrees that pikuach nefesh is a dechuya, but the Ran writes the following. The Ran says that the way we said it in Shir was, basically he has the multiplier theory. Why is it the multiplier theory? Because this fellow's going to have to eat more than a kazayas to save himself. If you give him nevela, he's going to transgress. Let's say he eats five kazayasim, five lavim. You shech the cow, it's a one-time thing. So that's why I call it the multiplier theory. If you have a situation, this triage, go with the shechting, which will happen once, as opposed to the situation of what? As opposed to the situation of feeding the nevela, which will happen multiple times. So therefore, the Ran says that you should shech the cow and not feed him the nevela, because after it's all said and done, the cheshbon will be less avarice. But what will emerge a distinction between the, so the Ran and the Rush will agree that it's a dechuyun, but they argue with the Rash, but you don't feed him the nevela, you shech the cow. What would emerge a difference in nafkamina halacha lamaisa ramification practically? Let's say a non-observant Jew that has been eating non-kosher food, and he has no problem in eating the nevela. So therefore, according to the Rush, then you would feed him the nevela and not shech the cow. But according to the Ron, you still have that issue of the multiplier theory. You want to minimize it. So the Ron would still agree, shech the cow in such a situation. Yeah, go ahead.
Is there any impact at all that if you shech the cow, the patient, that it's actually probably not over anything? You just embed it.
Right, but I'm doing it. That's a very excellent point. But the Rush and Marumberg assume that I'm working for the patient, so we're all in the same boat. You could have thought like that. When we were first learning the sugya, I thought that. But you see, the Rosh and Marmer are not machalic, because we have view that, you know, I'm in the same boat. If I'm trying to save someone's life, we're all on the same page. So therefore, there is no distinction. But you would have thought that maybe I'll be smart. But I think that it's an excellent point. It goes to the heart and core of pikuach nefesh. I am like the patient in a sense, and I have to strive to my best of my ability to try to save him. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't remember the answer, but the Gemara in Kula, I think, brought up a situation where what all you have is pork available. Do you shech that to take it out of nevela, and how would that fit into this scenario that would even further complicate?
Right, absolutely.
This was something that came up in World War II. I heard stories like this in China where there were a lot of Jews there and people were sick.
Yeah, they're interesting. Interesting. You know what a shaila comes up also? The Chafetz Chaim has. It's a little bit different of a topic, Rivui Shiurim, but you know, the Chafetz Chaim wrote in Sefer Machaneh Chaim that the soldiers, they had to carry their tefillin, and they had to be over the Yisr Hotzah on Shabbos. So the Chafetz Chaim wrote to them that it's not a problem, because since you're carrying your weapons for Pikuach Nefesh, and there's a heter to carry one item for Pikuach Nefesh, you can add on, called Rivui Shiurim, you can multiply the shiur and say, I'm also can take my tefillin as well. Since I have a heter to carry one item, which is my weapon, I can also lump on the tefillin as well. And other achronim later, Moshe discusses the heter. He actually argues on that Chafetz Chaim. He says, but they're two different items. We say ribui shiurim if it's the same item, but tefillin and the weapon are two different items. But the Chafetz Chaim uses an interesting, similar thing regarding the issues of war that they had, those shilas that came up.
During the week, I believe they had the chef. They had the chef, the chazer.
Okay. Very interesting.
Why do you call Shemitah on Shabbos one lav? You have more than one lav, because you have to cook it and have everything.
Yeah. Question is, Lamaisu, that's a good question. So I was thinking maybe you could eat it raw, maybe. Maybe you could eat it raw. If they felt it's a death situation. So you're right. Bishul would be multiplier theory, but I think the assumption was of the Ran is that all you have to do is shech.
Or you have to cook the nevela as well.
Right, exactly. So it's always going to be the same side of the ledger. You're going to have one and another. That's an excellent point as well, without a doubt. Yeah, go ahead.
Are there any sources in the mikro for the position of Udra versus Dehuya?
Yes, I think so. And as long as you mention that, you know, let's mention that now, okay? You know, there are seven different sources for Pikuach Nefesh being Docha Shabbos. The Gemara and Yuma on Pedalot and Mabes. Six Tanoim give their Pasuk, and Shmuel the Amora gives his Pasuk. And the Gemara says, every one of the Tanas approaches, we have a Kashan. Except for Shmuel the Amora, he hit the spot. And what was the marker given? V'chai behem, v'lo sheyamos behem. So Rabbi Vadi Yosef Shlita writes in his Tshuvas, that the v'chai behem lo sheyamos behem, you get the impression that that's a hutra. And he claims that the Machaber and Shulchan Aruch holds that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is a hutra. And he says v'chai behem implies that it's a hutra. And it's very interesting that Tosus and Yuma writes, you know, there's a general klal in Torah, we follow a rove. But when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, Shmuel, who said v'chai behem lo sheyamos behem, was the same one that said, Ein hochen b'pikuch nefesh achar arov. Let's say there's a 1 or 2% chance a person's still alive and there's rubble that's fallen on him. You have to try to save the person. Because when it comes to a hutra, we don't follow the general principle of rov. That's Shmuel l'shitaso. Shmuel is considered to be the din of the halacha of v'chaibem. So Rebbe Vadi writes, v'chaibem implies hutra. That's what he wants to claim. Which marker implies a chumra? Not chumra, rather the chuyah. So he claims, what is the marker of Chil Shabbos Achas Kidei Lishmor Shabbosos Harbe? You should be Mechalel one Shabbos to save this fellow's life, so that he'll be able to observe futuristic Shabbosos. So Rav Avadia writes, conceptually, that seems to point to the direction more of a Dechuya. There's Chil this Shabbos in order to be able to save the fellow. So Rav Avadia writes that built in the two different makoros in the Gemara for our topic of pikuach nefesh tocha Shabbos speak to the heart and core of whether it's considered to be a what? A dechuyo or hutra. And the truth is, there's an amazing bir halacha, that it's right here, it's in the Shinchot Tes, amazing bir halacha, that he actually speaks about this point. He quotes, you know, we know that the Gemara writes in Yuma pikuach nefesh for even Chaye Shah, if you know a fellow is going to live for another hour, you still have to save the fellow. But you know he's going to die after that hour. Even for Chaye Shah, the Gemara writes in Yuma Pehemanaf, I have to save his life in Mechal Shabbos. Even Chaye Shah. Why is that? So there is a Me'iri that writes in Yuma because you want to give him the opportunity to do Vidui. We know that if a person passes away, you have to do vidui with the person before you pass away. It's a very uncomfortable situation, and you have to be use a lot of seichel because you don't want to scare a person, but it's beferish in Shulchan Aruch. And unfortunately, I had to deal with that with my father-in-law Tzatzal, but we were able to do it. But it's a very, very important din. And the Miri says that's the rationale of pikuach nefesh for Chaye Shah, to give the person the ability to do vidui. However, the Bir Halacha says he doesn't think so. Life is so precious. Minutes, another hour, we are Mechal Shabbos, even for another minute, another hour. And he talks about a case of a cut in Merutza. So let's say, God forbid, there would be a traffic accident, and you know the young child would die, God forbid, but Lamaisa, you have to go in Mechal Shabbos for the few hours for that child or human being or an adult to live. Life is so precious. In fact, the Bir Halacha says it's not linked at all to mitzvahs. It's not linked at all to mitzvahs. It's because life is so precious. That's the reason why pikuach nefesh is chayei shah. It's an amazing bir halacha right here. And then he goes on to quote, he says he can't believe that it was said, the halachos ketanis. He quotes the halachos ketanis, and he thinks it's very, very difficult, very wrong, he says. Let's say a person is a cheresh or a shota, someone who's exempt from mitzvahs. And there's a life-threatening situation for a cheresh v'shota. So the halachas ketanis has a suffix, a later achron, the halachas ketanis has a suffix whether you can be mechal Shabbos for a cheresh v'shota because they're putt from mitzvahs. So gevalt, says the Baruch Hashem, chas v'shalom, how could we ever think such a thing? It's not linked to whether you're obligated in mitzvahs. Every Jew, every person's life, every human being's life is so precious. We have to try to save everyone's life, whether he's a cheresh or a shota. It has nothing to do with obligation of mitzvahs. If it's a cheresh or a shota, you have to save the person's life, without a doubt. Even if person's only going to live in another hour or 2 hours, we must save that person's life. So he says, how can it be a mistopic? For sure you'd have to do it. And certainly if we hold pikuach nefesh is a what? Is a hutra. If it's a hutra, we're running to do it. Doesn't make a difference. It has nothing to do with the link of kiyum and mitzvahs. If you held, says the Bir Halacha, that it was a dechuyo of chil Shabbos achas, kidei lishmor Shabbos harbe, then maybe one can understand, oh, this person is exempt from mitzvahs anyway. So then maybe one could say, oh, I have a doubt. But we don't hold like that at all, halacha l'maisa, says the Bir Halacha. We can't postulate like that at all, chas v'sholom. It's not linked at all to the fulfillment of mitzvahs, but rather life is so precious, and if you hold hutra, the Ramah argues and says that pikuach nefesh is a dechuyo. But doesn't make a difference, Lamaisa. No matter what the person is, Chaye Shah, we are Machal Shabbos, with the Zahutra Kuya, to save a person's life, even for an hour or 2 hours. Without a doubt, because life is so precious, it's not linked at all to Kima Mitzvahs. But there's one caveat that's fascinating that he claims. The Prima Godin has a suffix. Let's say someone was obligated to be executed by death. Let's say, you know, there are four Mises based, and let's say a murderer. Beis Din has paskin that he's chayav hered. Someone's chayav mitzvah Beis Din bisman ha-gamor, let's say. Bisman they had death penalties. And it's supposed to happen, let's say, on Monday or Tuesday. And rubble falls on this fellow. On Shabbos. Should you bechal Shabbos to save this fellow's life?
Why not?
That's what I would. Prima Godim had this suffix, and I would have said without a doubt, based on what the Bir Halacha said, life is so precious. Got another 2 days, right? Absolutely. So it's interesting. The end of that Bir Halacha, he points out a possibility. Well, this guy didn't care about his own life because he's a murderer. So he says, why should we? Very, very, very interesting psak of the Bir Halacha. He just doesn't pask and he throws it out in theory. But I felt, based on the Bir Halacha himself, if it's an issue, it's not linked to mitzvahs, it's a link to life. So who cares whether it's going to be executed on Tuesday? You should also save that fellow. But that's what the Bir Halacha, that's what the Bir Halacha postulates.
He doesn't say the best and having to do a Maaseh Harei.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's an interesting thought.
What's the question?
The question is that someone that's going to be executed on Tuesday, right, by Beis Din, because he's a murderer, rubble falls in on Shabbos. Can we be Machal Shabbos to save this fellow's life?
What's the gentleman saying?
He was suggesting that maybe we're saving Beis Din from doing Harei. So maybe there's a possibility that we shouldn't have to save him. Because he's going to die. He's going to die. Yeah, but you're not allowed to kill him. Gemara says it's usher to kill him. Usher to kill him. You won't be chayvisa, but it's usher to kill him. Yeah, go ahead.
The point is that the Bir Halacha compares it to the case of Maridin Velo Malin.
Right.
So he says. So the point is, if he's no better than a person that's Maridin Velo Malin,
right?
So why should be Michal Shabbos? Obviously, that person. We don't.
Right. Maridin Velo Malin is a Mishnah in a Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Aleph, where if he's in a pit,
you leave him there.
Leave him there. So you want to
say this guy is no better than that. He
right.
might be worse than that because he's a Valley Rotzeach.
Could be. Very well. That's what you perhaps you'll have to explain. But one could have said, but if it's an issue of not linked to mitzvahs, then maybe what should be the difference? One can see a little bit of a difference, no, between Malin, Marine Velo Malin and a case where there's rubble on the fellow, no? Maybe. No? Perhaps. You don't see any difference. Okay. Could be. But that's the Bir Halacha.
I see here, no, because the case of Marine Velo Malin, he's mamish alive and there's nothing stopping him, and yet we still don't do anything for him.
Okay.
And here he's Vada.
Here's a suspect. Here he's Vada going to be executed. Okay, very well. Could be. But what I want to bring out for our topic as well is, you see, he's utilizing the two what? Makoros. The Chai Behem implies that it's a Hutra, and the Chil Shabbos Achas Kedilishmor Shabbos Asharbe implies that it's a Dechuya, and therefore the Hilchot Ketan is Suffolk. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
He may not have been murdered, killed by Zerud, because this question, Sheikh may have shown up on that.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe someone will come forward and say they have something, right? Yeah, I thought about that also. Yeah, very good. Yes. And what do we do when someone comes and says, I have something to say that he might get off the hook? We bring the Dayanim back. So that's also. Excellent point as well. That's why I was saying life is so precious. Exactly. Yes.
I don't think that's right, because we bring the person back because it's special to Vitzil Oida, not because life is so precious. Basically, a person...
It's a special din, you're saying.
It's a special din of Vitzil Oida.
Okay.
Basically, you see that there's no erech for him. His mom is...
Okay.
I mean, dead man walking takes on... There's an that you should kill him, but he's basically dead man walking.
Could be. Very good. Everyone's points are excellent. Yeah, I did. Yeah, go ahead. I just have 2-3 more points. And, yeah, go ahead.
Perhaps something that's bad news is we're losing the din of Achiva. The whole din of that we have this issue of Pekuach Nefesh is the din of Hashem's Abed, and he loses that protection.
Yes.
Right, and perhaps, you know, he's basically at the same status as a boy would have.
That's a good svar. Could pop. That's what you were suggesting. Similar.
But
very
no
similar.
Mukher for that. Where's your mukher for that?
Yeah, that's why I said, the Bir Halacha seemed to be that life is so precious. I hear what you're saying. Okay, just 2 more points. There's a big issue that comes up regarding the following. Let's say there are certain actions you can do for someone that's deathly ill that per se is not going to necessarily assist him in his illness or the pain that he has. Let's say turning on an air conditioning or turning on a heater. For someone that's a cholish yesh bo sakana, would that fall under the rubric of pikuch nefesh tocha Shabbos? So it's a machlokas, the Magen Mishnah and Rashi. The Magen Mishnah writes, yes, you're allowed to do that, even though it's not directly saving the person, but it's making him more comfortable. And the understanding is that if you hold pikuch nefesh is a hutra, that opens the door for you to say, you know what, I'm allowed to turn on the heater, I'm allowed to turn on the air conditioner. But if you have a more constricted view of pikuch nefesh, that it's only a dechuya, then you could say, as the Bir Halacha explained to Rashi, this doesn't directly assist him in his illness, in his state. And therefore, one could suggest that it would not be permissible to turn on the heater or turn on the air conditioning. But we assume halacha l'maisa that if it's a tzarach gadol, absolutely it's permitted to turn on the air conditioning or it's to turn on the heater. If it's a tzarach ksas, then you have this machlokas. But a tzarach gadol, without a doubt, you're allowed to do halacha l'maisa. Okay. One last din, let's just mention. There's a whole discussion about fevers. How high of a fever does one have to in order to invoke and implement all these dinim of pikuach nefesh? So Rav Moshe has in the tshuvas that for a child, even 100 Fahrenheit, if there's a concern that, God forbid, it might get out of hand, then Rav Moshe writes in the tshuvas that even 100 degree Fahrenheit, if you're concerned that there's something really a problem, then that would allow a person for pikuach nefesh to be dofa shabbos. Not just stam 100 is a little bit of a cold, a little bit of a flu, but you're concerned something's more than that is there. So Rav Moshe even says 100. It's a remarkable chiddush. And if you take the approach again that pikuach nefesh is a hutra, that would open the door to be more makel to say 100 degree fever might in fact lemaisa allow me for a child to invoke the dinim of pikuach nefesh to be dofa shabbos. And lastly, that comes up. Who are the people that are supposed to? They're telling me I got to end. Who are the people that have to do pikuach nefesh to dofa Shabbos? The Gemara writes in Yuma, Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael have to do it. Gedolei Yisrael. You know the famous question Reb Chaim was asked. Someone was ill on Yom Kippur, and he says, "You know what? You can eat." So the Talmidim came to Reb Chaim, "You're makel on the Isra of Karis and Igan Yom Kippur," and he responded, "No, I'm makel regarding pikuach nefesh." I'm machmir on the din of pikuach nefesh when it comes to what? Comes to Yom Kippur, okay? And therefore, it's interesting. The Gedolei Yisrael have to do it. So that would seem to imply that it also is a hushra, but you could have explained maybe Gedolei Yisrael have to do it so that Chilul Shabbos won't get out of hand. We're afraid if they don't do it, maybe it won't be done in a proper way. So you could have explained it's still a dechuya, but it's considered to be different. Okay, everyone should have a friendly Hanukkah, and be well.
What I meant was practice
If someone is to be executed on a Tuesday, does that person have to be conscious? Be aware of what's happening?
What did you say?
If a person is to be executed on a Tuesday,
right,
must they be conscious of what it is that's happening? Must they be aware of what's happening?
Should they have to be aware of it?
Okay,
probably.
So on Shabbos, if they are then unconscious, right, if they go into a coma, right, or they just don't have a clear thing, right, you cannot execute them on Tuesday. So you have to try to. Because I know here, says that if someone is unconscious in a coma, you cannot execute. You have to wait until they are revived.
So that it should be a kapara for them.
That's right. They have to be conscious of what it is that's happening.
Yes. Oh, okay. Nice to meet you. You have a lot of knowledge. This is a great fellow. Very bright, and more importantly, he's a very big yetch. Which is more important. Yeah.